Good evening. It's good to see everyone out this evening. I certainly appreciate your presence, and your presence is an encouragement to me. Again, as those of us who aren't used to getting up here and preaching from week to week, it is a great encouragement, and your words of encouragement are very encouraging. I want to echo what Stephen had to say this morning about thanking the elders. Oftentimes, doing this fill-in preaching is looked upon as a burden, and we have to realize that it is an honor and a privilege, and they're putting a lot of faith and confidence in the men who stand up here. They have the confidence that you are going to stand before and speak the truth. And so I thank them for that, and I try to view it as that. If you have your Bibles with you, and I hope you do, I encourage you to turn to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. We'll begin there in verse 1 here in just a moment. As I begin this lesson this evening, I want to raise what I hope is a very thought-provoking question. And that question is, what do people think of when they think of your name? I want you to think about that for a moment. What do people think of when they think of your name? And I'm not talking about the Christian name that you carry. I'm talking about your name, your given name. What do people think of when they think of Dathan Rader? What do they think of when they think of you? And you put your name into that sentence. What do they think of when they think of your name? I've had you open here to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1. It says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. There we see that we are to have a good name. So again, I raise the question, what do people think of when they think of your name? Is it good, as we just saw here in verse 1, that a good name is to be chosen? Is the first thought that people think of when they think of your name, is it a good thought? Is it a positive thought? Do you leave a positive impression on people? Or is it bad? When people think of your name, does a negative thought immediately come to their mind? What do you think of when you think of names like Adolf Hitler, or Saddam Hussein, or Osama bin Laden? Those names carry a reputation, and immediately upon hearing those names, I'm sure most of us, a negative thought probably comes in your minds because you know the reputation of those men and the mark that those men have put on history. But it doesn't have to just be names of men. It could be items. It could be automobiles. What do you think of when you think of names like Mercedes-Benz or Rolls-Royce or Tesla? Names that are supposed to be top quality names in the automobile industry. The point is that just these names alone have an accompanying reputation. All I have to do is just say one of those names, and you know the reputation. It doesn't matter if it's those three men that are listed there or those three automobiles. Just the names alone have a reputation, and all you have to say is that name, and immediately a positive or a negative thought is going to pop in your head. The point is that your name says something about you. Again, I go back to the question, what do people think of when they think of your name? Is it a good thing? Is it positive or is it negative? In light of that, I want to bring to you a lesson this evening that I've entitled, The Christian's Reputation. And what do people think of when they think of us? And are we setting the type of reputation amongst our brethren and the reputation out in the world that we should be proud of or that God would be proud of? I want to begin by looking at what it means to have a good reputation. The word reputation is defined by Webster's as the estimation in which a person or a thing is commonly held, whether favorable or not, its character in view of the public, the community, etc. There it says that it can be favorable or not, so you can have a good reputation or you can have a bad reputation, and it's how you're generally viewed by others. As in the very definition from Webster's there, how you're viewed by the public, how you're viewed by the community. Do you have a good name, as we've just read there in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1? The word reputation, I want to look at how it is translated in the Bible. We find the concept of reputation all throughout the Scriptures, but the actual word reputation is found very few times. I think it's five or six times that we find the word reputation in the entire Bible. Only one time in the Old Testament. But certainly we find the concept all throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament. But I want us to look at a few New Testament passages and New Testament Greek words that are translated reputation. First here we have the word marturo, which is a Greek word that Strong's defines as to bear record, to obtain a good and honest report, to be well reported of, or to bear witness. Turn with me to Acts chapter 6 and verse 3. We find this word, marturo. You remember in Acts chapter 6 is where the disciples had chosen seven men to serve. Some think these seven men were deacons that were chosen to see to the needs of the widows who had been neglected. But look in verse 3. It says, "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation." Now I'm reading from the New King James Version. "Seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom you may appoint over their business." That word reputation there is from the word Greek word marturo, to bear record, to obtain a good and an honest report. Another Greek word that is also translated reputation is the word timios, which Strong's defines as valuable, costly, honored, esteemed, beloved, or precious. Look just one chapter back in Acts chapter 5, in verse 34, we find this word timios. Speaking of Gamaliel, in Acts chapter 5 and verse 34, you'll remember that Paul was schooled at the feet of Gamaliel. It says, "Then one of the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, and all the people..." Now let me start all over again. Verse 34, "Then one of the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while." Again, I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says there that Gamaliel was held in respect. If you have the New King James Version, it says that he was held in reputation. And again, we see the definition there, that it's costly, valuable. He was very valuable and esteemed and beloved, that he was held in respect. He was of the reputation. We find the same word over in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 29. You'll remember as Paul is writing to the Philippians and he's encouraging them to receive his servant Epaphroditus, beginning at verse 25, he tells them how Epaphroditus was his fellow worker in the kingdom, and he encourages them to accept him and receive him. In verse 29 it says, "Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem." That same word that's translated esteem, if you're using the King James Version, it says, "Hold such men in reputation." Again, very esteemed, beloved, something that is very precious to us. We find another Greek word that is also translated reputation in the New Testament, that is dokeo. Strong's defines this as to seem good. Look at Galatians chapter 2, we find this word. In Galatians chapter 2, Paul says, "And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain." He preached to those who were of reputation, those who seemed good. That's this Greek word dokeo. You'll notice that a little later on in that same chapter in verse 9, that these same men whom he said were of reputation are called pillars. Verse 9, "And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars..." You think of a pillar, big columns out in front of maybe holding a large porch up, pillars or columns. Thayer here says that this word pillar means that they were persons of eminence, strength, and stability. We might say that our elders here are the pillars of this congregation, that they offer a sense of strength and stability. These men who were said to be of reputation were men of strength and men of stability. So perhaps those Greek words there help give us a little better understanding of what the word reputation means as it is found. Again, that word reputation is found very few times in the Bible. But we see there that it means to bear record, to obtain a good and honest report, to be esteemed or beloved, and to seem good by others. So now that we've seen what it means to have a reputation, one might raise the question, is there value in having a reputation? Hopefully all of us would immediately say yes, there is value in having a good reputation. But how often do you hear some people say that, "Well, I just can't control what others think about me," or they might say, I've just got to the point where I just don't care. I don't care what others think about me because there's nothing I can do about that. I can't control it. So is there value in a reputation? And is there value in having a good reputation? Can we control it? Can we control what others think about us? I want to suggest to you that yes, there is a value, and there is a great value in having a reputation. We started off looking at this verse, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1, that a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Something that should be desired greater than the greatest riches that we can have here on earth is a good name, a good reputation. Yes, there is value in it. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 7 says that the memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. That is, the memory of the name, of the memory of the righteous reputation, their name. It's going to be remembered. It's going to be blessed. Contrary to the wicked, whose name will rot. We also see in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 1, again telling us the value of reputation, that a good name is better than precious ointment. Precious ointment and oils, especially in this day and time, very costly, very valuable. And a good name, a good reputation, is valued even more than that. So yes, there is value to having a good reputation. But we should strive not only for a good reputation among God's people. Perhaps it's easy for us in this room to have a good reputation. I'd like to think that most of you in this room think highly of me. And I'd like to think that everybody else thinks highly of everyone else. It's easy in this setting with our brothers and sisters in Christ to have a good reputation. But perhaps it's more important when we go outside these four walls, when we go out into the world. We too are to have a good reputation. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. Notice that Paul points out, and in this context, he's talking about the qualifications of elders. And he talks about the value of not only, obviously an elder should have a good reputation amongst those whom he's leading, but he talks about the value of him having a good reputation out in the world, in the community. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 7, he says, "Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside," referencing those who are outside the church, those who are outside of who he's going to be shepherding over. So those in the world, those in the community, that's one of the qualifications of being an elder. If you have a man who is known around town, known in the community as being a shady man and engaging in shady business deals, certainly that man has no business being an elder in the church. So it's important not only to have a good reputation amongst our own brethren and our brothers and sisters in Christ, but perhaps more importantly as we go out into the world and as we set examples to others, as we tell people that we are Christians, as we tell people that I'm a member of the El Bethel Church of Christ, and they can look at us and see that we do have a good reputation. Perhaps that is even more so important. Secondly, after seeing what it means to have a good reputation, I want us to look at a few examples of those who had a good reputation as we read through the Scriptures. Obviously, we can't give an exhaustive list. There are hundreds of examples, perhaps thousands of examples as we read through the Bible of those who had a good reputation. But I just want to pick out a select few and point those out. First, start with the obvious, is Jesus. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the prime example of one who had a great reputation. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21 talks about how Christ left us an example that we should follow in His footsteps. And then later on in verse 22, it says that He committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in His mouth. The ultimate example of one who has a perfect reputation. We can't expect any of us to have a perfect reputation. Christ did. No sin, no deceit was found in His mouth. But I want to point out David. And you might think that's quite odd because we know of David's weaknesses and David's sins that he committed with Bathsheba. But David did have a good reputation. And you're going to see throughout this list that there are going to be men whom were guilty of grievous sins, but yet in the Scriptures we find that they still were able to have a good reputation. But David, 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 14, after God had appointed Saul as king and Saul, things didn't work out too well because Saul was a wicked king, God was looking for a man to replace Saul. And it says there in 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 14 that I search for a man after my own heart. And he's talking about David there. He had the reputation of being a man after God's own heart. Daniel, turn with me to Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. Notice the reputation here that Daniel had before the king, before Belshazzar. This is as there was, you remember the writing on the wall that could not be interpreted. And many of the magicians and astrologers were having trouble interpreting the writing on the wall. It says in verse 13, then Daniel was brought in before the king, and the king spoke and said to Daniel, are you that Daniel who is one of the captives from Judah, whom my father the king brought from Judah? Now verse 14, notice this is the king speaking to Daniel. He says, I have heard of you. Daniel had a reputation that preceded him. I have heard of you. And he goes on to say that the Spirit of God is in you. Talk about a reputation, to have the king hear about your great faith. Think about having what an honor it would be to have the President of the United States know and have heard about your great faith. The king had heard about the reputation that Daniel had. I think about Enoch. Not much is told to us about Enoch, but in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24, we're told there in a very short verse that he walked with God. And what a great reputation to have. That'd be something great to have etched on your tombstone. Here lays a man or a woman who walked with God. I think about Abraham. James chapter 2 and in verse 23 talks about how Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. What a reputation to be called the friend of God, to be called God's friend. Solomon, Nehemiah chapter 13. This again might be a strange one, especially in the context, but turn with me, if you will, to Nehemiah 13. Nehemiah is warning the people here about intermarrying, giving their daughters over to foreigners, and then taking daughters from foreigners to be their wives, and the danger in that. And he pointed out in Nehemiah 13 and verse 26 that did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? You might think that's strange to go to this verse to point out Solomon's reputation, because here, in this case, he had a bad reputation. Did not he have the reputation of sinning by these very same things, by taking foreign wives? It says, continuing on in verse 26, yet among many nations there was no king like him. Here we see his good reputation. There was no king like him who was beloved of his God. And God made him king over all of Israel. Nevertheless, pagan women caused even him to sin. I've underlined those last five words of that verse in my Bible, that it caused even him to sin. That Solomon had the reputation, had a good reputation, because it says that there was no king like him who was beloved of his God. But yet even him and his reputation, even he was led away to sin. Think about Timothy. Turn to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 22. Philippians chapter 2. As again, Paul is writing here, and he is commending Timothy in verses 19 through 24. But verse 22 says that, speaking of Timothy, Paul says, but you know his proven character. You know his proven character. In other words, you know that Timothy, my servant, has a proven character, that he has a good reputation. And he goes on in that verse to talk about, essentially he's saying that Timothy is as just like a son to me, and that he has a proven character. He has a good reputation. I think about the saints at Rome. You remember when Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1 and verse 8, he told the saints at Rome that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. What an honor and a privilege to know that your faith was spoken of throughout the whole world. They had a reputation. The saints at Rome had a reputation, as did the saints at Colossae in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 4. Paul again says that we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. These saints had made a name for themselves. They had a reputation of having a great faith. And finally, I want us to notice Barnabas. If you turn to Galatians chapter 2, notice the reputation of Barnabas. Again, this might seem like a strange spot in scriptures to go to find a good reputation, because here is where Barnabas is rebuked in Galatians chapter 2. If you remember that Peter and Barnabas were carried away because they had refused to sit down and eat with the Gentiles. Verse 13 says, "And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy." Just like I did with Solomon, I've highlighted that those two words in my Bible, "even Barnabas." That's saying that Barnabas did something that was contrary to his reputation. We know from Acts chapter 11 that Barnabas was said to be a good man, that he was said to be full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. But even Barnabas was led away. And the point is that Barnabas did something that was contrary to his reputation. He was known for doing things that were much better. Barnabas had been there at the Jerusalem conference in Acts chapter 15, where they came to the conclusion that the gospel was open to the Gentiles, and they were accepted just as well as the Jews were. But Barnabas did something contrary to his reputation. Even Barnabas, contrary to his reputation, was led away. Finally, after seeing what it means to have a reputation and seeing those who had a good reputation, I want us to take a few moments to raise the question, how do we get a good reputation? We've just looked at a handful of examples throughout the scriptures. How did those men get that reputation? And how can we get that reputation? Well, we have a good name. First thing is, we have to realize that it is a choice. Go back to Proverbs chapter 22, where we started. Proverbs chapter 22, in verse 1. And this is often overlooked. I haven't thought about this much myself until putting this lesson together. But it says, a good name is to be chosen. We have to realize that it's a choice. And that's the beauty of it. Because no one is responsible for my reputation except for me. Dathan Rader is in charge of my reputation. You are in charge of your reputation. Nothing anyone else can do to ruin your reputation except for you. And that's the beauty of it, that it is a choice. And before we can get a good reputation, we have to realize that it's a choice. Again, look at that verse. A good name is to be chosen. It's a choice for us. And that is that our reputation is not something that is pinned on us at birth. There are certain things that we are born with that we can't do anything about that. There are things that are just out of our control. Reputation is not one of those things. It's something that we do have control over. It takes time to build and to develop a reputation. It can take years, decades at times, to build a good reputation. It's not something that you just wake up one morning and now I have a good reputation. It takes time, it takes work, it takes effort to build and develop that. All through life, we are making choices that help shape and mold our reputation. And whether we know it or not, others are watching. People used to always tell me as a teenager that the younger ones are watching you. But it's not just the younger ones that are watching you. The older ones are watching you. Everyone is watching you. And they're picking up on the decisions that you are making throughout your life. And that is what our reputation is built upon. Our names have a reputation attached to it. And again, as I just point out, that's been established by a result of our words, our actions, our decisions, our behavior, and our attitude. Again, everyone is watching. Young and old alike, they're watching you. And they're picking up on the decisions that you make, and they're picking up on the behavior that you have, and the attitude that you have, and the faith that you have. And that is how our reputation is built. And we need to realize that it is a choice, and that we are in control of our reputation. Having a good reputation is not something that you get by mere chance or accident. You don't just go wandering through life, and then at the end of your life say, "Wow, It worked out. I have a good reputation." It's not something that happens to us by mere chance or by mere accident. It is something that we have to work at, and that we ourselves are responsible for shaping and molding that. It is a choice. But secondly, how do we get a good reputation? It is produced by consistent righteous behavior, that is, doing what is right. I look at the example of Daniel. We looked at him earlier of example of one who had a good reputation, that the king had heard about his great faith, and that the king had heard that the Spirit of God was in him. Daniel was found doing the right thing, even in the midst of having his life in danger. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, he was found praying. And that was his custom since the early days. He was found doing what is right. I think of Joseph. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis 39. Here we see where Potiphar had made Joseph basically ruler of his household. And he did so because Joseph had a good reputation. Look in verse 4. That Joseph found favor in his sight. That is, Joseph found favor in the sight of Potiphar. Potiphar looked upon Joseph and found that he had a good reputation. He found favor in his sight, so he made him ruler over his household. But when Potiphar's wife came and tried to commit fornication with Joseph, down in verse 7, she came and called him and said, "Lie with me." In verse 8, it says, "He refused, and he said to his master's wife, 'Look, my master does not know what is with me in this house, and he has committed all that he has into my hand.'" If I might paraphrase what Joseph is saying, is he's saying, look, I have a good reputation in the eyes of my master. In the eyes of Potiphar, I have a good reputation. And by lying with you and committing this grievous sin, not only do I sin against God, but it's going to mar my reputation. My master has put me in charge of everything. And if I commit this sin, then it will ruin my reputation. It is produced by consistent righteous behavior. Being a fair-weather Christian is not enough. And what I mean by that term, fair-weather, is doing things when it's only convenient. I said there in point B that this is produced by consistent righteous behavior. Not just righteous behavior, but consistent righteous behavior. Look in Matthew chapter 24. There's a danger in us just doing the right thing only when it's convenient. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is speaking in verse 45. "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season?" Now verse 46, "Blessed is the man whom his master, when he comes, will find him so doing." That is, will find him consistently being righteous, consistently doing what is right. Contrary to verse 48, "To the evil servant who says, 'My master is delaying, so I don't have to do my work as long as my master is not here. I'll only do it when it's convenient. I'll only do it when my master is watching, when my master is here.'" So there is a danger in being a, quote, fair weather Christian, doing it only when it's convenient. A good reputation is produced by consistent righteous behavior. Again, how do we get a good reputation? Well, we have to realize that it is very valuable and it is very fragile. We've already looked at these two verses, Proverbs 22 and Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We see that our name, our reputation, is more valuable than great riches. And again, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, it is better than precious ointment. Again, something that in that day and time especially was very valuable and something that is fragile. And when we remember and recall how valuable and how fragile it is, we're going to take care of it once we do get that. I have a couple quotes here that I found from, these are from Benjamin Franklin. It says, it takes many good deeds to build a good reputation, but only one to lose it. And I'm sure we all can picture someone in our minds who has, over their years, they have built a good reputation, and through one act of weakness, through one sin, that reputation is gone. They've ruined it. Their influence is gone. I've known of gospel preachers, sadly, who have preached for a number of years, stood strong in the faith, stood strong in the truth, and in one moment of weakness have committed sin and their influence is gone. I like what he says there. It takes many good deeds to build a reputation, but it only takes a second and one act of weakness to lose it. Another quote here from Benjamin Franklin. He says, "Glass, china, and reputation are easily cracked and never mended well." And I like that because notice he doesn't say that it can't be mended. You can do things to mar your reputation and build your reputation back up. Just like a piece of glass or a piece of china. You may drop it and shatter it. It can be mended. You could pick it up piece by piece and glue it back together and use it for its original purpose. But it's certainly not going to be easy. You think of picking up a shattered bowl and trying to glue it back piece by piece. It's not easy. It's something that's very, very difficult, very tedious. Same with our reputation. Can it be mended? Yes. Can we fall into sin and then have our reputation built back up? Yes. I've talked about earlier about preachers who have fallen away. And I've known of those who have come back and they have served in the capacity of preaching once again and been a great influence. But that's not easy. And once our reputation has been cracked, once our reputation has been shattered, it can be mended. But as Benjamin Franklin says, they're not mended well, not easily. Realize how fragile, how valuable it is. And finally, how do we get a good reputation? We have to remember, we get a good reputation by remembering God and applying His Word. I ask you to turn to Proverbs 3. This is the last verse we'll look at this evening. Proverbs chapter 3. How do we get a good reputation? Remember God. Make application of His Word in our lives. It says in Proverbs 3, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." I'll stop right there for a moment, and we're going to come back and read verse 4. What is he telling him here? He says, son, verse 1, do not forget my law. Do not forget God. Do not forget His Word. And he goes down at the latter part of verse 3, bind them around your neck. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. Pay attention to God's Word. Carry it with you. Bind them around your neck. Make application of it day to day. Always have the Word of God in your heart so that as you do go out into the world, you can make application of that. Now, what's the result of doing that? Now I want to read verse 4. Upon doing that, upon binding the Word of God around your heart and remembering God, verse 4, you will find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and men. If I might paraphrase that, you'll have a good reputation. You'll have a good reputation. You will find favor and high esteem in the eyes of God. Not only in the eyes of God will you have a good reputation, but he says there, in the eyes of men as well, and your fellow man, amongst our brothers and sisters in Christ. And again, as we go out into the world, in the community, by doing those things, we will have a good reputation. In closing, I want to share with you a story that I heard a number of years ago about a man who had a teenage son. And that son was of the age where he would like to go out on the weekends with his friends, go out on dates from time to time. And that son, every time he would want to go out on the weekends, his father, his parents would allow him to do so, but his father would catch him at the door as he was leaving, and he would say, son, remember who you are. And the next weekend would come, he'd want to go out with his friends, go out on a date. Father would catch him at the door as he was going out the door, and he would say, son, remember who you are. And that went on throughout the entire teenage life of that young boy. And what was that father telling that son? Remember who you are. What was he telling him? Well, I think he was telling him that, son, you have a reputation. And you have a reputation that you have to live up to. Not only the physical name that you carry or the family name that you carry, but you have a reputation as a Christian. And I think he was telling that son, don't do anything that would mar or damage that reputation. As you go out with your friends, as you go out on a date, don't do anything that's going to damage that reputation. Because again, it only takes one moment of weakness for that reputation to be shattered, that reputation to be gone. And we would do well to have someone constantly reminding us to remember who we are. There's a song in the supplement book. We're not going to sing this, but I do want to share the lyrics of it with you. I know it's not commonly sung here. If it has been sung here, it was probably done by Jim Deason in our singing. Some of you might be familiar, but remember who you are. And every time I come across this song, I think about that story of the father telling the son, remember who you are. And we should all remember who we are as Christians, that we have a reputation to live up to. I want to go through the verses of this song, and then we'll close. It says, verse 1, in His image God created you. In new birth He gave you life anew. And His matchless love you now proclaim. You must live to glorify His name. Christian, remember who you are today as you follow Him along the way. Though the way seems dark and the journey far, strength comes when you remember who you are. Verse 2. You were bought at such an awful price. Christ redeemed you by his sacrifice. You obeyed him and were free from sin, peace and joy and hope and joy and love within. Christian, remember who you are today as you follow him along the way. Though the way seems dark and the journey far, strength comes when you remember who you are. Verse 3. Let your light be bright and ever true. Live so others will see Christ in you. In your life, a sermon sinners see what the Christian life is meant to be. Christian, remember who you are today as you follow him along the way. Though the way seems dark and the journey far, strength comes when you remember who you are. Let's remember, Christians, that we have a reputation. And we would do good to have a father constantly remind us as we are leaving the house to say, Christian, remember who you are. Remember who you are as a Christian. Don't do anything to ruin or mar that reputation. We've seen the Christian's reputation this evening. We've seen what it means to have a good reputation. We've seen those who have had a good reputation and how we get that good reputation. Again, as I mentioned, it is possible once our reputation has been broken or shattered, it is possible to mend it back piece by piece. It may take time. And so there may be those here this evening who perhaps you once had a good reputation of faithfully following Christ, yet you've fallen into the world in a life of sin. Your reputation can be mended back. It can be mended whole again. Perhaps there may be those who need to be baptized into Christ this evening. And if we can assist you and help you in any way, we hope that you'll come forward as we stand and sing.